The Pandemics and Public Emergencies Committee will now come to order. Lexi, please call the roll.
Chair Perez.
Here.
Vice Chair Caruso.
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Schlossberg.
Here.
Representatives Bell.
Here.
Benjamin. Byrd.
Here.
Casello.
Here.
Cheney.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Fisher.
Here.
Gilombardo.
Here.
Goff Marcil.
Here.
Mariano.
Here.
Mooney.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Snyder.
Here.
Trabulsi.
Here.
Zika.
Present.
We have quorum, Chair.
Thank you, Lexi. Members, before we get started, I want to put a couple reminders out there. Make sure your cell phones and other communication devices are turned off or placed on silent. And if any members of the public wish to speak, which doesn't seem like we have a big crowd today, please fill out an appearance form and give it to staff or sergeant's office. All right, members, today we will take up HB 5B by Representative Zika. And as you can see in the schedule of allotted time, we have a four-hour time block, so we should have plenty of time to ask questions, hear from the public, and debate the bill. Importantly, in order to ensure an orderly meeting, please go through myself as the chair for questions and debate, and be sure to keep questions and comments to the substance of the bill. If we start to veer off the substance of the bill, we will move on to the next member. That being said, Representative Zika, you are recognized to present HB 5B relating to the Florida Occupational Safety and Health State Plan. You are recognized, Representative.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Chair Perez, Vice Chair Caruso, Ranking Member Schlossberg, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present House Bill 5, Florida Occupational Safety and Health State Plan. Members, currently Florida's private employers fall under the jurisdiction of the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Given the current safety and health issues throughout the U.S. and within Florida, I think it's in the best interest to explore the development of a state plan. This bill takes the first step toward developing a proposal to withdraw from the federal OSHA and to assert state jurisdiction over occupational safety and health concerns for Florida employers. The bill directs the Executive Office of the Governor to develop the proposal for a state plan and directs other departments to assist the Executive Office of the Governor as necessary. The bill requires the Executive Office of the Governor to submit a status report to the legislature by January 17th of 2022. Members, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Zika. We will get into questions. Members, are there any questions for Representative Zika? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Zika, for your very brief presentation. My first question is, if the governor is going to develop a state OSHA plan, does that need to be approved by the Biden administration before it is implemented?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Smith, for the question. Federal government, all state plans have to be approved by the federal government.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So thank you for the clarification. The Biden administration has to approve this plan. Do our standards for workforce protections for our workers in this plan, do they need to be higher than the federal government standards for worker protection or lower in order to be approved?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Smith, for the follow-up question. Our protection has to be as effective or better than the state, than the federal OSHA.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If our protections for workers in Florida have to be stronger than those of the federal government, which parts of your bill are strengthening workforce protections in a way that you think will gain Biden administration approval?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative Smith, for the question. It does not pertain to the substance of this bill. The bill only directs the executive office of the governor to develop a proposal for a state plan and to provide a status update on the plan by January of the next year.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Zika. So just for clarification, in this committee today, we are not adopting a state-level plan that replaces OSHA. We are passing a bill to tell Governor DeSantis to put together a plan. Is that correct?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Smith, for your question. House Bill 5 requests from the Office of the Governor a proposal for a state plan.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the indulgence. Are we required to pass legislation in order to solicit a plan from Governor DeSantis replacing OSHA? Or is that something that Governor DeSantis can send us on his own without a legislative bill forcing his hand to do this?
Representative, it's more of a procedural question. I want to try and keep it to the substance of the bill at hand. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to understand if legislation is needed to get action from the governor on something that he cares very deeply about. How long will it take for us to go through the federal OSHA process for approval? Can we expect that these protections will be in place by sometime next year, or is this something that's going to take several years to implement?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair President. Thank you, Representative Smith, for your question. The first step in this process is for the legislature to request and direct the executive office of the governor to develop a proposal for a state plan and to provide a status update on the proposal. Subsequent to us receiving this proposal, the legislature will review it and will determine the next step as needed.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as I'm understanding it, this bill does not guarantee the adoption of a new state plan replacing OSHA by the legislature. Do we have the option, once we receive that plan from the executive office of the governor, do we have the option of taking no action and doing nothing?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Smith, for your question. It does not pertain to the substance of the bill. I mean, the bill only directs the executive office of the governor to develop a state plan, and in addition to that, provide us a status update on the proposal at this time.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll yield to other members of the committee before I have more questions.
Representative Schlossberg.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Representative Zika, my question is, what is the impetus for this bill?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Ranking Member Schlossberg, for the question. The federal mandate has caused us to reevaluate our need for a state plan, members. Florida is the third largest state in the union, 15th largest economy in the world. It's imperative that we meet the needs of our growing economy through employee prosperity and employer prosperity. This bill is designed to answer the question. Developing a proposal for a Florida-specific plan will help us evaluate how a state plan can enhance occupational safety and health while providing the flexibility to adequately address the needs of workers and businesses in our state.
Representative Schlossberg.
Thank you, Chair. Have businesses and local governments that have instituted vaccine requirements for employees faced significant resignations or other issues?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Ranking Member Schlossberg, for the question. It does not pertain to the substance of the bill. This bill only directs the executive office of the governor to develop a state plan and to provide a status update on the proposal.
Representative Casello.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative Zeker. It's my understanding, Representative, that 22 other states already have the state plan in effect. So my question to you is, do we know of any pitfalls or obstacles that this plan has with the state running it?
Representative Zeker.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Casella, for the question. There are over 20 states that have their own state OSHA plan. And under the subject legislation, Representative, we're only at this time, we're directing the Executive Office of the Governor for a proposal. And I'm sure during the process, we can get additional feedback from other states for any challenges they may face. But let's remember, in order for a state to have their own state plan, it has to be approved by the federal government, and more importantly, has to be as effective as a federal plan or better.
And as an add-on, Representative Casello, you have to remember any potential pitfalls of whatever that plan may look like right now would be preemptive, because that plan hasn't come before us as a legislative body yet. The request is for the governor's office to come up with what those details would look like. And at a later date, when that time is proper, then we will be able to see the ups and the potential downs of what that legislation could look like. But for now, the simple request is for the governor's office to come up with whatever that proposal would be.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Rep. Zeker, my dear friend, Rep. Zeker.
Likewise.
I do have a series of questions, but we'll go through you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Zeker, would you be amenable to an amendment that explicitly requires the governor in his plan to articulate standards that meet or exceed the federal standards?
Representative Zeker.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you so much, my dear friend Driscoll, for the question. The bill is very straightforward. And what the bill is doing a simple thing, requesting from the Executive Office of the Governor a proposal for a state plan. And furthermore, to add to that, it requires that they provide a status update on the plan. As we have discussed just a few moments ago, every plan will require federal approval. And with that in mind, in my opinion, any plan that we bring forward will meet or exceed those requirements.
Right.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe just to put a finer point on the questioning or this line of questioning, you know, because we're here for the special session. It costs taxpayer dollars for us to be here. I learned new information in the questioning from my colleague, Representative Smith, about these standards. And so just wanted to make sure that everything that we do here would be effective. Mm-hmm. And not a waste of time or taxpayer dollars. So, and I'm getting to my question, Mr. Chair. I also recently learned that OSHA, which would have to approve, the federal government would have to approve our plan, has an emergency temporary standard that basically says that states may not adopt standards that impose a ban on vaccine requirements. And so, in my understanding, so much of this is triggered by the governor's desire to put a ban on vaccine requirements. I don't want to see us waste taxpayer dollars. So I guess my question is, would you be amenable to an amendment prohibiting the governor from including in any such plan standards that ban or limit an employer's authority to require vaccinations, face covering, or testing, because we've already established that OSHA would reject that because it would be a lower standard. It'd be a standard that doesn't meet or exceed the federal standards. So would you be amenable to such an amendment that would, as a legislature, provide the governor with direction to not put forward a plan that would waste everybody's time?
Representative Zeker, you'll be welcome to answer that question as best you can, but I think it is important to understand that there, as we are aware, there are other bills that are going through the process of special session. Specific to your question, I think is probably better suited for other bills that are going through other committees at this time. But that being said, Representative Zeker, if you can give that question your best shot for an answer to Representative Driscoll, that would be appreciated.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Driscoll, for the question. I'm open to a further dialogue with you on the specific topic, but at the present time, the subject legislation is just doing simply two things. He's asking for a proposal and a status update by January 17th of next year for the OSHA.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Zika, would you agree that, though, if this plan, because it's kind of amorphous, and we're giving the governor great leeway, basically, to come back with a plan, but would you agree that if it included standards that we know would be rejected by the federal government, that that would be a waste of our time?
Representative Zika, as best you can, to answer Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Driscoll. What I love about America is the three branches of the government. The governor doesn't work for us. We don't work for the governor. We are sending him a specific legislation requesting for a proposal. If that proposal does not meet our needs, we will request whatever it's needed at the time. At the present time, the specific legislation is simply asking for a state plan for OSHA and furthermore to give us an update by January 17th of next year.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you. Some additional questions, Rep. Zika, specifically about the $1 million appropriation that's with this. I'm concerned about accountability. And in reading the bill, I mean, it is, as you put it, you know, it's straightforward and it asks for that plan. Could you provide us with some input about what that $1 million would be used for?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Driscoll, for the question. The $1 million is a non-recurring allocation of funding for the Executive Office of the Governor. At the end of the day, we as a legislature, we're asking the EOG to come back to us with a specific plan. The governor can use the funds as necessary to meet the mission and the task at hand. Any leftover funds, as we all know, they'll be returned back to the legislature.
Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But Rep. Zika, why a million? Why not 500,000 or 5 million? You know, typically as we have appropriations requests and projects that go through the process, there'll be specific items that we know need to be covered by that appropriation. So that's how we arrive at the number. I'm just curious, is there any information that you could provide us about why $1 million and what that would go towards?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Driscoll, for the question. I don't have any information in front of me, but I'll be happy to circle back with staff and see if they have any specific list pertaining to those funds.
Representative Driscoll.
One more. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then, Rep. Zika, you know, how would you propose that we would ensure accountability for the spending of these taxpayer dollars by the governor?
Rep. Driscoll, just so I understand the question better, when you're saying taxpayer dollars, which dollars are you talking about?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The $1 million appropriation.
Representative Zika, you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Driscoll. I think we have done this in the past where the legislature allocate funds and there are checks and balances internally from an accounting perspective, where funds can be spent. And there's an accountability for each branch of the government, how funds are spent. So if they need additional funding, they'll come back to us. And if they have surplus, they'll come back and we'll get those funds back.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Zika, how's it going, my friend? That's not a question, by the way. That's not one of my questions.
Yeah.
So you're asking through this legislation the governor to give us a plan. So as you sat at your desk thinking about sending the governor a request for a plan, it was your thought that you wanted something that was more flexible. Am I right in that summation of your bill?
Representative Benjamin, let's try and be a little bit more specific. When you're saying flexible, what are you talking about? What's the question you're trying to get?
That the impetus of, let me ask, so that I understand this correctly, that the impetus of this bill is for more state flexibility as it relates to something different than what the federal standards currently are.
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Benjamin. As I've said earlier, Florida is the third largest state in the union, 15th largest economy in the world. We're a very, very diverse economy. I love Florida. Floridians love freedom. I think when it comes to us partnering with the federal government, Certainly in the past, we have outsourced the services of OSHA to the federal government, but now we're going through this process to see if we can bring it back and administer this program at a state level, right? And as I've mentioned earlier, this program is subject to federal approval. So we just have to make sure that it's as effective as the federal OSHA.
Representative Benjamin. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So as it's subject to federal approval and the federal sets the floor, what's the flexibility that you're looking for based upon what's going on now that would give you a leg up on what the federal government is currently doing? How would this give you the flexibility you want to sidestep what the federal government is currently doing?
Seems like the same question, Representative Benjamin, but out of respect, we'll go ahead with Representative Zika for a response.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Benjamin, for the question. Florida knows Florida better than Washington, D.C. will ever know Florida. And at the end of the day, we have a responsibility as Floridians to ensure that Florida remains the launching pad for the American dream. I'm open, and we are open, to work with the federal government, but at the end of the day, Floridians are responsible for Florida.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if the federal government says you must have mandates and that becomes the floor, how does this legislation or any proposed plan will be effective in giving us that particular type of flexibility?
Sorry, Representative Benjamin, I'm not following the question.
The question, Mr. Chair, is that the impetus of the bill is flexibility. However, we know that the federal government sets the floor as to terms of what standards are acceptable from a state plan. So if a state plan wants to be accepted by the federal government, it has to meet the federal government standard or be higher. Currently, the federal government says that you have to have mandates for the vaccine or testing. We're saying that that's too, by this bill, by the proposal of this bill, we're saying, listen, that's too stringent for us. We want something that gives us more flexibility. But by our own accord, by our own, the federal government has already said you have to have at least this. So if you don't have at least this, we're not going to approve it. So what flexibility are we trying to get to? What's the flexibility that we're trying to get to?
And respectfully, your point is more seen as a debate, and you're trying to find a conclusion instead of a question on an opinion. If you want to ask an opinion, a question, Representative Zika, I'm more than happy to let you keep going with the questions. The flexibility point has already been made through a question various times. If you want to take another stab at a question, more than happy to let you keep going, but you're going to get the same response on the flexibility of the state in regards to the OSHA standards. But you can ask your question one more time, and then we'll move on from there. Representative Benjamin, you're recognized for your question.
If a state plan, what happens to a state plan? Now you got me thinking all legal. I'm thinking that this is going to cause for speculation, but I'm going to ask it anyway. A state plan that doesn't include a federal mandate, while we wait, what happens with those workers? How are those workers then controlled? Are they controlled by the federal standard that requires a mandate? What do we do? So in other words, what do we do as Floridians while we wait for us to pull out?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Benjamin, for the question. House Bill 5B, it simply does a simple thing. It's asking the executive office of the governor for a state plan proposal, and furthermore, an update by middle of January. And that's what the content of the bill is at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Members. Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one additional question that was triggered by Rep. Benjamin's questioning about flexibility. So I apologize if this was asked and answered, but I don't feel like I heard a clear answer. So just trying to relate it as cleanly to the bill as possible. What does flexibility mean, Rep. Zika, as it's used in line 30 of the bill?
the language, and Rep. Zika, I'll let you answer this in a second, that these are legislative findings that we have in here. And when we're talking about flexibility, going back to Representative Benjamin's string of questions, we're trying to compare the federal standard of OSHA to a final product by the state. We have to remember that we don't have a final product from the state. So when we're talking about flexible alternatives in the questions that have been asked by some of our colleagues here today, there is no final product to compare the flexibility to yet. That is what this bill is going to do. So that being said, Representative Zika, you're more than welcome to answer the question on the intent of flexibility in the language inside of the bill.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, actually, I hate to interrupt, but I think you actually clarified it for me, and so then my question kind of changes. I don't want to have Rep. Zika, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Of course,
and if this is for you or Rep. Zika, I suppose.
Sure.
Which is that, so understanding that definition of flexibility or that intention with flexibility, then for the bill sponsor, is it your agreement then that flexibility, however, is limited by the floor established by the federal standards?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Driscoll, for the question. The subject legislation, when it comes to the flexibility component, in my view, in my opinion, has to be as effective or better than the federal OSHA. I think what the flexibility does, in my view, Florida is a very diverse economy. It's a beautiful economy. It's growing rapidly, 15th largest in the world, third largest state in the union. Florida knows Florida better than Washington will ever know Florida. We want to have the flexibility in the state, right? And quite frankly, the flexibility may mean that some of our rules and protocols may be better than the federal OSHA because we know Florida better than Washington, D.C. does. And I think, in my view, that's the way I view that. Now, both of you are lawyers, so I think you and Chairman Perez, so you'll have a better understanding of that, too. So.
Thank you, Representative Zika. Members, any other questions? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have some more questions. First, just about whether or not the legislation is necessary. Are we, as a legislature, are we able to, even during this special session, pass a state OSHA plan that we can submit to the federal government for approval? Why are we ceding our legislative authority to create policy to the governor and asking him to send us a proposal? Why aren't we doing it ourselves?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Smith, for the question. There are three branches of the government, and we're the legislature. We need something. We're sending a request to the executive office of the governor. We need this information because at the end of the day, while certainly we are the lawmakers, they'll be responsible in running the agency. So we want to make sure that they are involved in the due process. And on the specific bill, House Bill 5, we're simply saying, hey, we have an idea. Send us a proposal. Let's work together. Let's review it. If we like it, we like any tweaks, we will send it back to you. And I think this is what makes our process so really beautiful, in my view. I mean, we work together in this due process. So, and that's my view on that.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the passion around the three different branches of government. Do we not, as a legislature, have oversight authority over all of the agencies? And do we not, as a legislature, shouldn't we, if we respect all three branches of government, asserting our branch as a branch that is the policy-making branch and adopting our own plan and sending that over to those agencies that we have oversight over, as opposed to capitulating to whatever the whims of Governor DeSantis are and allowing his branch to take over ours?
Representative Smith, respectfully, he's not going to answer that question. He answered your first question, which is fairly similar to this, and now you've opinionated your position on the office of the governor. So we're gonna move forward to any other questions that you have, but that one's not going to get answered. You're recognized, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the indulgence. I digress. The next question I have is just trying to understand, I guess, what we're doing to our state government here compared to what we've done before. I know that in 2002, we essentially disbanded Florida's Department of Labor, if you will, and defaulted to what the federal oversight through OSHA is now. What is the difference between recreating a state Department of Labor in Florida and creating a state-level OSHA plan? Is there a difference?
As best you can, Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez. Thank you, Representative Smith, for the question. I was 13 years old when that happened, and I'm sure my dear friend, Representative Altman, may be able to answer the question better. But that plan was a state safety plan. It was never approved by the federal government. The subject proposal in front of us is asking for a full-scope state OSHA plan. So, and there is a difference, and so that's what the difference is.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if this is a full-scope state OSHA plan, do you suspect that creating a state-level plan is going to expand the size of state government?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Smith, for the question. Florida is the third largest state in the union, 15th largest economy in the world. And the reason I say that is because, I mean, we're a large economy, very diverse. Some may call it the expansion of government. Some may say, hey, it's needed. At the end of the day, this bill is only asking for a proposal. If the decision is made to create the state OSHA plan at a state level, in my view, it may be beneficial to our growing economy. We're a very diverse economy. I mean, Florida is in a really, really great spot. And I think Floridians have gone above and beyond to grow this economy. And quite frankly, by having the state-level OSHA, I think we will find ourselves where we have employee prosperity and employer prosperity, both parties where they win. So that's my thoughts on that.
Thank you, Representative. Any other questions relating to the content of the bill? Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you for the answer, Representative Zika. It sounds like this is a big expansion of state government based on your answer, which might be fine. I don't oppose the expansion of government as long as it's for the appropriate mission, which is protecting our workforce and protecting our workers, which would be a change compared to the record of the legislature.
Do you have a question, Representative Smith?
My question is just trying to point out the elephant in the room. There are critics of this bill who say that it's not a serious proposal, that it's a political stunt, it's an illusion. If we are requiring, or we're required to have this proposal approved by the Biden administration, what do you say to those critics that say this is just a political stunt?
Representative Smith, that is outside the scope of the content of this bill. Do you have any other questions?
Well, Mr. Chair, respectfully, it's at the center of the conversation in this state, in the public, in our communities, and with our constituents about how serious this proposal is. I would like an answer if I'm being asked to support a bill that I don't think is going anywhere federally.
You can discuss that in your debate. We're done with questions on that topic. Any other questions, members? Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I don't know if it's been asked to answer, but the question is, what are we foreseeing, Representative Zika, what are we foreseeing in this proposal, by having this proposal, what do we foresee us doing with regards to OSHA? Is that too far down the line? What do we foresee that we'll be doing that this federal government isn't currently doing? How will we be better? In other words, how will we be better?
Representative Zika.
Thank you, Chair Perez, and thank you, Representative Benjamin, for the question. First of all, it has to be as effective as the federal OSHA or better. That's what I call kind of the practical side of it. The philosophical side of it, it's imperative that we meet the needs of our growing economy by having employee prosperity and employer prosperity. And the way we ensure that is by having by having a state-level OSHA, by ensuring that our growing economy has the resources they need to continue to remain competitive. And I think what this bill does is very simple. I mean, it's going to develop the proposal, it's going to request for the proposal for a Florida-specific plan, and will help us evaluate how a state plan can enhance our occupational safety and health while providing the flexibility and adequately address the needs of workers and businesses in our state.
Members, any other questions? Okay, we will move into public testimony. We have Rich Templin, Florida AFL-CIO. Welcome, sir. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You run a tight ship. I do apologize. We did reach out to Representative Zika's office. I hate talking about somebody's bill in public before having an opportunity to discuss it in private. On the sheet that you have there, I have marked information because this is a very interesting proposal. I have been living all OSHA all the time for the last 10 days since the governor's press conference expressing an interest in withdrawing from OSHA, because in a lot of ways, we are the OSHA people. We represent 1.3 million workers, retirees, and their families across the state. We deal with OSHA all the time. So I want to provide some context and maybe clarify a couple of things, even some things that I just heard in the exchanges, to help you best make a decision, because we do have some concerns, but we also see some opportunity. First off, it's important to point out that OSHA is two things. It's the Occupational Safety and Health Act, the law, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, the entity charged with the rulemaking, like we have rulemaking, but the rulemaking and the enforcement of that law. Now, the law allows the states to set up its own enforcement mechanism. The state can make any rules above and beyond the rules that are set by OSHA, but they can't go beneath them. As people have been saying, there's a floor. One interesting thing, since I know that this is a special session dedicated to the idea of vaccines and vaccine mandates, if the federal rule, which is currently being challenged and may be tossed out by the courts, but if it does support, if it does make it through a court challenge, whatever program the state of Florida sets up will be bound by enforcing those vaccine mandates, because that is a rule proclamated by OSHA under federal law. If it survives a court challenge, it's now essentially the law of the land for our business community. Now, one of the things that the state could get out of it in this regard, and I think this is what I heard both the speaker and the Senate president in their media availabilities earlier today, and they both used the term weaponizing OSHA. And I think the concern there is that is the enforcement that the Biden administration wants to take to enforce federal mandates in the various states. But remember, even in those 22 states, that have their own program, if the rule survives court challenge, it will have to be upheld in those states. So what are our concerns and what are the opportunities around this? As was alluded to earlier, over 20 years ago, the then Jeb Bush administration dissolved the Florida Department of Labor. Now, many enforcement pieces that had been in that department were shunted to different existing state agencies. One that was not was called the Division of Safety. So for over 20 years now in the state of Florida, not for lack of me trying while I've been here, but over the last 20 years, there currently is no safety mechanism for our public sector workers. OSHA only applies to the private sector. So we have no safety regimen in place for the public sector. And a lot of times people are kind of shocked when they hear that, but that's the reality of the situation. Now, OSHA, the law, says if you want to become OSHA the enforcement, your proposal has to cover both public sector and private sector employers. So this could be a really great thing for us because we could have tens, hundreds of thousands of public sector employees actually covered by safety standards. It also allows us the opportunity to go higher than the floor. Look, there's no love lost between the labor community and OSHA. They've been chronically underfunded, under-resourced. They don't have enough inspectors. And so in most states that have gone their own route, it's to provide more protection for workers. So those are the opportunities. But here are the concerns. I've heard now several times that the legislature with this bill will be directing the governor's office to propose a plan. With all due respect to the governor's office can't propose a plan. It is outside the scope of what the executive office of the governor can do because OSHA also looks at the system that you put in place to propose your plan. And it requires the labor community to be a part of it, the business community, the insurance community, risk managers, and I'm wrapping it up, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I could tell the look. It really is a massive undertaking. The shortest that it usually takes is about 2 years. So in looking at Representative Zika's bill and having read it several times, it seems like it's more of the legislature directing the governor's office not to put forward a plan, but a plan for a plan, because there's going to have to be a lot of steps outside of what's highlighted in this bill for it to pass federal muster. And again, we're not saying we don't want it. We're not saying we do want it. We're just, there's opportunities and there's some. So I just would value any opportunity to work with this committee, to work with you, Representative, to figure out ways to add some language to this so that we're not just looking at a plan for a plan, but either put some guardrails around how that plan is developed or guarantee some stakeholders have a say in how things move forward. But this is it's a very interesting thing. It's a very interesting thing in terms of the COVID vaccine. It's a very interesting thing in terms of the future of our state and the 15 largest economy. I mean, there's a lot going up on here that's interesting. I guess all the action's over on the Senate side right now. But thank you very much for your indulgence, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to try to clarify some of those things because this could turn into something really beneficial. Right now, we're a little concerned that it's so broad and puts so much within the executive office of the governor that we might not get to where really we all want to be on both sides of this issue. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Yeah, we have some questions, Mr. Templin. Representative Fisher has a question.
You're going to help me out with the hard ones, right? Like, tell them they can't ask. I'm just kidding.
Representative Fisher, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to clarify what you said there. Are you for or against Florida creating its own plan? It was unclear.
Mr. Temple.
The devil's in the details. And so the piece of legislation that we have in front of us, how could anybody be against a plan for a plan? Right? I mean, that is opportunity. So how could you be against that? What I was trying to do with my remarks is see if there was any interest in adding some additional context to this bill so that we're a little bit more streamlined and goal-directed in terms of where we go. OSHA is not perfect, not by a long shot. And we would love to have public sector workers covered by a safety component. So those would be two great things. But again, I do want to caution that if any of the motivation is this, is over how the Biden administration is using OSHA around the COVID vaccine, that this might not get you where you want to go because OSHA still sets the rules. They won't be in a position to kind of be that enforcement, kind of the hammer of it. But yes, was that clear enough?
One follow-up.
Thank you.
Representative Fisher for the follow-up.
Thank you,
Mr. Chairman. As an engineer, I've had interactions with OSHA, and I agree they are not perfect. Earlier in what you said that other state plans provided better protection for workers than the federal, than OSHA did. I would think that means that you think we should create a plan ourselves. And I, out of all of what you said, I still didn't hear a clear yes or no out of that. If you believe that state plans, or your experience with state plans, is that they've provided better protection to workers, that would lead me to believe that you think we should create our own plan, but I didn't hear clarity from your answer there. If you could try to be succinct and clear.
Mr. Templin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In some states, moving to, and what we're really only talking about is enforcement. In some states, we saw increases and improvements in enforcement from where they were with the federal enforcement agencies. In some states, we did not. It really just depends how it's put together state by state. And also, how many resources are granted to that. I think at some point during the questioning, there was the issue of, you know, increasing the size of government. It really, you know, we also have to ask ourselves, do we want to put taxpayer resources into enforcement that currently the federal government pays for?
Representative Smith, I believe you have a question for Mr. Templin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Templin, for a lot of insight and knowledge that you're providing the committee. I know that you have watched other states develop their own state plan. How long do you think it will take to implement a state plan that is adopted?
Mr. Templin.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't want to oversell my experience. I have not been intimately involved in the creation of state plans. But in looking at some of the records in my research and before coming here today, it looks like the average time in the 22 states where it has taken place is 2.5 to 3.5 years.
One follow-up.
You're recognized, Representative.
Thank you. It appears to have been established that if we so chose, we, the legislature, can develop our own plan. But we're asking the governor to do this. Has the governor's office reached out to AFL-CIO or any labor unions that you're aware of for input and collaboration on how we adopt stronger workplace safety standards compared to OSHA?
Mr. Templin.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. No, not as of yet. Hope springs eternal. We would love to assist the governor's office with this work. And I will say that over the last, you know, 2 weeks, we have been flooded with phone calls from really nervous workers who read the headlines and they believe that the state can just, you know, immediately withdraw from OSHA, which would be particularly devastating in the building and construction trade part of our organization, because they rely on OSHA as for a lot more when they're negotiating their contracts about safety and things on the job.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Given that you're hearing a lot of feedback from our labor force out there about this prospect, do you think that this proposal is confusing our workers as far as what might happen or what may come if the bill passes?
Mr. Templin.
Well, most of you have been here long enough to know that there's, especially around a special session, there's headlines and there's policy. I prefer not to engage in the headlines part of all this, but prefer to err on the policy, which is the whole reason that I showed up today, was to try to see if we couldn't, you know, start a dialogue to try to make this better and a little bit more directed. But again, no, I would feel disrespectful and disingenuous to come forward and say we as an organization are in opposition to a plan for a plan. We're not at that point yet, but we would, you know, to be able to merit the weigh the merits of this pro or con, but we would really like to see some language in there to kind of, you know, specify exactly how this is going to take place, because it is so important to the health and safety of millions of Florida's workers.
Vice Chair Caruso, do you have a question for Mr. Templin?
Yes, I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a summary here of about 27 different state plans, and I was wondering which do you see of those plans would be the best model for a plan for Florida?
Mr. Templin, all of a sudden you've become an expert.
Well, and afraid at my answer. California is a great punching bag around here for a lot of things. But California, by and far, has the highest additional standards for chemical hazards, and other workplace standards that don't exist in the federal requirement or don't exist in other states. So they tend to have the most worker protections in place. And I'm truly just answering the question. That's not advocacy for California. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Templin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, very much.
All right, members, we will now get into debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Driscoll.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Rep. Zika. And when I use that term friend, I don't use it lightly. We are friends and have worked together at many different junctures in this process. And one of the things that I love about you and our friendship is that we both share a love for our great country. We share a love for America and wanting to see our country be the best that it can possibly be. And I think we share that same love and respect for our great state as well. And as you mentioned, with Florida being now the third largest or most populous state in the nation, the world's 15th largest economy, I mean, it's not something that we should take for granted or just listen to those facts and take them lightly. That's really important, and we have the opportunity to show great leadership not only to the people of our state but also the people of our great nation. But I cannot shake the feeling and understanding that a vote for this bill, the perception that I have, a yes vote for this bill is a vote for an expansion of government. It's a vote for increased bureaucracy, and it's a vote for the state to regulate with a heavier hand than the federal government. We all need to be aware of that. As I understand the framework and the rubric for a state to withdraw from OSHA and to come up with its own plan, that plan has to be at a standard, with standards that are higher than what the federal government allows. Members, that necessarily means more bureaucracy. It means more full-time employees. Those are real costs. It's a vote to make Tallahassee like D.C., and I don't want us to be like D.C. I think sometimes it's okay for us to know our lane, and I think our lane is to preserve the hard-earned, precious taxpayer dollars that are needed to help all Floridians have the freedom to be healthy, prosperous, and safe by instead investing that money in our schools, increased pay for and protecting the pensions of our first responders, and giving our veterans more of a fighting chance when they return home. What it is not is giving the governor $1 million with a blank check attached to it to come back and pad the wallet, ask for more money, more resources, and pad the wallets of big consultants. That is not our lane. I'm glad that the bill sponsor is open to continuing the conversation, because if the governor puts forth a plan that includes standards that are automatic non-starters for the feds, then we run the risk as members of this legislature of being on a fool's errand. And I don't think we're in the business of doing that. I think we're in the business of trying to put forth good, thoughtful policy that keeps Florida as a leader in this nation, that keeps America as the great country that it is. So those are just some of the reasons why I will be voting against this bill today. I look forward to continuing the conversation. I just don't think that the accountability that we need to ensure that whatever the governor comes up with is going to be in the appropriate parameters. So thank you.
Representative Benjamin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I always love our conversations with regards to legislation that you're proposing. And listening to my colleague, Representative Driscoll, I want to speak more plainly. And to the extent that all the bills that we consider here today, yours included, is with the governor's intent of thwarting the federal government's perceived overreach in mandating a vaccine. What we've heard here today is that that can't be addressed through pulling out of OSHA. that we can't escape if it's upheld the federal government's mandates, because they set the floor for what a state has to either match or come above. And if currently the state of affairs is that the federal government says employers of over 100 employees must mandate a vaccine or allow a weekly test, then that's the state of affairs no matter what plan is proposed. It has to at least meet those parameters. So for the purpose of our special session, which the governor has said in the media, is to give Florida workers in an at-will employment state some security that their job will not be hampered by a federal overreach and a mandate, won't be accomplished through us beginning a process to withdraw from OSHA, and a process that we've heard will take 2 to 3 years to accomplish. And while we're taking 2 to 3 years to accomplish that, the federal OSHA standards, if upheld, would apply, which means those employers would still have to abide by the federal OSHA standards. So $1 million to accomplish something that we already know can't be accomplished is why I rise against this. And I know we've said that this is just a plan of a plan, or who can be against a plan of a plan. Well, we can be against the plan of a plan when we already know that the objective and the intent of the plan can't be accomplished by its proposal. And that's why I rise against this.
Members in debate. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for your indulgence. I'm glad at least we had a long enough committee where I could ask most of the questions that I really wanted to ask. But they were answered. They're obvious. And Representative Zika answered them, because the first question that I asked is, does the state-level OSHA plan require approval from the Biden administration? Yes, it does. The Biden administration must approve the plan. And the whole reason we're leaving the plan is because of the Biden administration's vaccine requirements. LOL, this is not a serious proposal. The proposal's not going anywhere. That's why it's a plan for a plan. Now, I agree with Representative Zika that we have three separate branches of government. We are the legislature, and we should not kowtow to anyone, including a governor that wants very badly to run for president. And the reality is, the reason we have a plan for a plan and not our own plan is because the bill was slapped together. We did not have time to create the legislature's plan for a state-level OSHA replacement. And let's just be real. If we're replacing OSHA standards with our own state-level plan, you can call it what you want, but it's your version of a state-level Department of Labor. It's an expansion of government. DeSantis's plan will have a number of untold FTEs and fiscal impacts, as it should. I mean, it's going to be requiring us to have a state-level plan. And like I said before, I don't oppose expanding government if it's for the right purpose. I'm a Democrat. But y'all are Republicans. And you want us to expand the size of government to get out of the federal OSHA requirements while full knowing that the Biden administration is not going to approve it. So why are we here? I know why I'm here, and it's not to vote for this. If we're going to have a serious plan to create real workforce safety measures, real protections for our workers, which, by the way, we've not really contemplated as a legislature for a very, very long time. I would love to do that. I would love to strengthen workplace protections. I would love to make sure that we're treating our workers fairly. But knowing that this is just a plan for a plan, I don't believe it's going to be a good plan. And I don't believe it's going to rise above the standards that the federal government is now requiring.
which is why I'm going to vote against this, because I believe that this is all an illusion. I believe the point of this bill is so that Governor DeSantis and the legislature can look busy trying to fight the Biden administration. I would prefer that we actually get busy and address the real needs of Floridians and address the various crises that are out there. But we're not with this bill. This doesn't help anyone, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. So I'm going to vote against it. But thank you, Representative Zika.
Members in debate. Representative Costello.
Thank you, Chair. Just for a minute, I'd like to take the politics out of this debate. I see an opportunity here that we could make it better safety-wise, both for the employers. I think there's a real opportunity. This is only a plan for a plan. And if the bill sponsor is willing to put those guidelines in, as Mr. Templeton had spoke about, I'd be up on this if the stakeholders have a say in it. With that being said, if you agree to something to that nature, I would be up on the bill today.
Thank you. Representative Goff-Marceau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Rep. Costello kind of said what I was going to say. I like what Mr. Templeton said, that this bill is very interesting. I really, really like the idea of sitting down and figuring out better work protections for employees and all the other things we could do to improve what's currently in place. But there's a big problem with accountability, and the bill sponsor mentioned that because he said the governor could use his money as he sees fit. And then when questioned, well, how is he going to do that, he said that he believed there was built-in checks and balances to have accountability. And I would argue that we are the people that should be putting those checks and balances in right now if we're going to approve this plan. So for that reason, I too will be down on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Members in debate. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Chairman. We've heard a lot of opinions today, so let's actually talk about the Constitution, since we are a constitutional republic with dual sovereigns, and states are co-sovereigns with the federal government. We do not take orders from them. And so I'm going to read liberally from the United States Court of Appeals Fifth Circuit opinion, in which multiple states and private entities sued OSHA and the Biden administration. This opinion came out on Friday. I'll be more than happy to provide anyone a copy who wants to read it. It's 22 pages, and it would actually answer a lot of the questions that some of you had today. But at the conclusion of the opinion, it says, it lastly bears noting that the mandate raises serious constitutional concerns. And I don't care whether Florida is the third largest state in the country or the 50th. That's not what we're here debating, and that's not what this law is about. We're talking about whether the federal government can do something that it has never done before, which is mandate that individuals take vaccines against their will. So it lastly bears noting that the mandate raises serious constitutional concerns that either make it more likely that the petitioners will succeed on the merits, or at least counsel against adopting OSHA's broad reading of Section 655C as a matter of statutory interpretation. First, the mandate likely exceeds the federal government's authority under the Commerce Clause because it regulates non-economic inactivity that falls squarely within the state's police power. And for those of you unfamiliar with constitutional law, police power doesn't mean law enforcement authority. It means a state's regulatory power. A person's choice to remain unvaccinated and forego regular testing is non-economic activity, and to mandate that a person receive a vaccine or undergo testing falls squarely within the state's police power. The Commerce Clause power may be expansive, but it does not grant Congress the power to regulate non-economic inactivity traditionally within the state's police power. And the court cites to a plethora of Supreme Court precedent that upholds that. The states have broad authority to enact legislation for the public good, what we have often called a police power. The federal government, by contrast, has no such authority. Second, concerns over separation of powers principles cast doubt over the mandate's assertion of virtually unlimited power to control individual conduct under the guise of a workplace regulation. Congress must speak clearly if it wishes to assign to an agency decisions of vast economic and political significance. There is no clear expression of congressional intent to convey OSHA such broad authority, and this court will not infer one, nor can the Article II executive breathe new power into OSHA's authority, no matter how thin his patience wears. So that's from the court in their interpretation of OSHA's rule. So we continue to hear this debate that we're wasting our time. What are we doing? OSHA, the federal government has to approve the plan, and they're not going to approve a plan that doesn't have the mandate provision. Well, you're right. The federal government, OSHA, does have to approve the plan, but the courts will likely block the ETS, which is the emergency temporary standard. And once again, please go back and read the 22-page amendment, because they go through in detail when an ETS has been found within the OSHA's regulatory authority and when it has not. And this is one of those instances in which it is unlikely to survive constitutional muster. So the COVID emergency is in the short term the impetus for this legislation. But in the long term, the decision is whether or not we as a state, a dual sovereign in our constitutional republic, wants to make the decision that it's better for Floridians to go in a different direction than the federal government under OSHA. 22 states have done it. There are some blue states, some red states. You can go look them up. But this is not a fool's errand. It's not a joke. It's not an LOL. This is perfectly within our authority, and it is outside of Congress's authority to regulate this, because Congress hasn't spoken to the issue. But we need to go ahead and start the debate now. Give the governor, all we're doing is giving him the authority to come up with a plan, which will come back to this body, and we will debate it. We will put the finer points on it. But that's what's happening. We're not handing over any authority to the governor and abdicating our own authority. So, members, put aside the nonsense. We're here to debate whether or not we want to consider leaving federal OSHA and coming up with our own regulatory plan. That's something that's well within our purview, and I would submit that members should vote up on the bill.
All right, Representative Zika, you are now recognized to close on the bill.
Thank you, Chair Perez and Vice Chair Caruso, Ranking Member Slosberg, and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present the House Bill 5. Members, I'd like to add this. We find ourselves from time to time at an intersection that we concern ourselves that it's a tremendous amount of frustration. This is a policy we just happen to agree to disagree. And what the great thing about America is we're all friends. We just happen to disagree on this policy. And in my view, House Bill 5 simply directs the executive office of the governor to develop a proposal for a state plan and simply provide a status update on the proposal. Florida is the launching pad for the American dream. And we don't take the American dream lightly in the state. But we have to continue to work together to protect the American dream from becoming the American nightmare. We're the third largest state in the union, 15th largest economy in the world, and we take this seriously. The federal mandate has caused us to reevaluate our need for a state plan. And because of that, we're working together on solutions that we can continue to ensure that Florida remains that great state that we believe in. I love the Sunshine State, and I intend to keep it shining for as long as we can. So thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Ask for your favorable support.
Representative Zika, closing on the bill. Lexi, please call the roll.
Chair Perez?
Yes.
Representatives Bell?
Yes.
Benjamin?
No.
Byrd?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cosello?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Driscoll?
No.
Fisher?
Yes.
Gilombardo?
Yes.
Goff Marceau?
No.
Mariano?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Slosberg?
No.
Smith?
No.
Snyder?
Yes.
Trabolzi?
Yes.
Zika?
Yes.
13 yeas, 5 nays.
By your vote, HB 5B is reported favorably. Congratulations, Representative Zico. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Snyder moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.